Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Transfiguration Sunday. This is one of those Sundays that is probably one of the easier days to figure out what happens, right? This is not a high, hard thing to understand what's going on. Jesus takes his disciples up, the couple up with them. They see Moses and Elijah. They have a really amazing experience, and they come down. And then you have this really strange story about the father who's trying to get help for their son. And you sit there and say, okay, that's a pretty nifty story. I like knowing that Jesus shines and Moses, you know, he shines. These are good text. But there's a lot more to it. There's a whole lot more to it. Because this is all about relationships to God. God has created us for relationships. He created us so that we would be able to relate to one another and to us. We see God when he said, I need to create Adam a helper or somebody to relate to him, and the animals didn't relate properly, so he created Eve. We see that God wanted to relate to us by being present in our lives when we see Adam and Eve in the garden, that he's there. But then something happens. We have sin and it gets in the way. And so God tries a couple different ways. He starts by trying through patriarchs. We see it in Abraham, Isaac. We see it through Moses today. These people were people that God would come to, and they would be witnesses to what God had done. The problem was that this didn't always work so well. Not everybody listened to Abraham or Isaac, and they certainly didn't listen well to Moses, even when God made his glory present upon Moses as we see today. So then he tried prophets. Prophets like Elijah, Elisha, Nehemiah. These were human beings that weren't necessarily right in God's presence, but they heard the word of God spoken to them, and they were to proclaim it to others. We really failed at listening to Elijah, Elisha. But both of these ways, the Jewish people saw as how God related to us. And they saw that God related not by you and me and as the world would want to be with Adam, where God is present with us. Instead, what did he do? He related through other people. And that's not what God wanted. So God, in his infinite wisdom, he gives us Jesus. That gives us the well wisdom of God comes right to us present, and we do not need anyone else. This is a major tenet in Lutheranism, that one of the things Luther really had a problem was that when Jesus died for us, no longer did we need a priest, no longer did we need an intermediary. That you can come and talk to God, you can pray to God, you can worship with God, you don't need a priest, you don't need somebody to do that for you. And trust me, you don't even have to ask for forgiveness through me. You can do that yourself. But we see an interesting story here in this relationship. What happens? The guys go up on the mountain and life is good. And I kind of relate this to how I feel when I go down to visit my family in North Carolina. That when I'm driving down the 6 hours to Charlotte, North Carolina, I'm driving down and thinking about how much I love my family. Can't be wait to be with my sisters and my dad. And I'm driving there thinking life is good. Right? We all do this. And we sit there and maybe the first night is a good time. We tell stories. We have fun. We're saying, oh, we should do this more often. By day three, what are we doing? Get me out of here. Right? That all those good times and all those things, all the world comes to it. And my sister's nagging me. And my dad is grumbling about Eli and Caleb doing something wrong. And we're like, get me out of here. And that's kind of what we see here. that God comes and gives this amazing moment. And so often in Christianity, many of us experience these moments. Maybe we experienced it at Camp Luther. That many of our kids talk about the Camp Luther experience in that mountaintop. Or many others have experienced it on different retreats they've been on, where they've separated themselves from their daily lives. Maybe it's an awe-inspiring moment that you had with a friend or a loved one. These moments where you feel close to God and you say, I just want to hold on to it. I want to be here and be present. I think most of us have had these, but we're kind of fearful because we're Lutherans. And what do we do as Lutherans? Oh, we don't have spiritual experiences. We just sit and take it easy. Right? Isn't that what it is? That it wasn't by coincidence that Martin Luther said, be wary of feelings. That joyous feeling might be the feelings of a bad sausage in the morning. But, you know, we have these great feelings. And they are wonderful and they're important because they get us close to God. They get us to know that there's a God. Here are Peter, James, and John know there's a God. And they're sitting there saying, well, let's stay up on this mountain. And Jesus says, no. We got to get down into the world. We got to get down and see this experience. And so they go down, and what's the first thing they have? It's a tough experience. And we see an interesting quotation by Jesus. Jesus says, I'm tired of this sick and perverse generation. Is he really upset about the people? I don't think so. I think he's sick and tired of not being in that joyous place where God has called us, where the kingdom of God is. He's sick and tired of dealing with the world around us. He's sick and tired of being like me, saying, oh, I just want to get out of here when I go to the family home, right? I want to get back to my own bed and to where I control the remote control and all those things. And what he's saying is that we have a lot to look forward to, but guess what? I'm going to be present in this generation. I'm not going to be like the gods in the past that are always on top of the mountain, always sitting there and you coming up. But I'm going to be a God that's different. I'm going to be in the trenches with you. I'm going to be a God that comes and walks that journey with you until I come and take you home. Until God takes us home, God is present with us. He's in the muck and the mire that we live in. There's a reason why that we start on a mountaintop here in Transfiguration before Lent. And we end Lent on a mountaintop. We end Lent on a similar mountaintop. But on that mountaintop is not this joyous thing. It's not a place where anybody would build a temple. It's a place of death, destruction. It's a place of humiliation. It's a place where we find Jesus again. And we find what? God's word saying, this is my son. And we see as he takes that last breath, what is it that happens? The temple curtain that is so heavy and thick that people, it takes two guys to pull it apart just to separate it so you can get through it to go get in. It's torn in two. The recognition is that relationship is restored, that God is with us, that he's with us not only in those high moments when we're sitting there and saying, I know God is present, I want to sit here, but also God is with us in the tough times, in the trying times. He's down in the valleys with us. He's when we need him most. And guess what? He's there, but he's not sitting there saying, this is where I want to end up. He's not saying, this is where I want you to end up either. He's saying, I'm here for a time. I'm here to walk the journey. But our hope as Christians is that at this end is we'll be back on the mountaintop. We'll be back where God claims us to be. And that's the hope we have. That the relationship God restores, that the place that our calling will come. That's why we say each and every Sunday, may your kingdom come. But until then, we're thankful that God is ever present in our life, walking, relating, and being with us in the muck and mires of the valleys and also on the hilltops. Amen.